earth to be blessed. Amen. Truly we thank God this afternoon. Amen. For the blessings of the Lord. For the scripture lets us know that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And what I like about God is when he blesses you, he added no sorrow. Amen. Can we get excited? Lord, bless me. Hallelujah. Lord, but I don't want the sorrow. Amen. Truly we just thank God this afternoon for being in the house of the Lord. I heard somebody say that in his presence, I said in his presence, there's a Lord, thank you, and at your right hand there are pleasures evermore. Amen. We're going to stand for our scripture reading, which will come from the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, for those that are able to stand. Amen. Indeed, it is our season. The word of God lets us know that time and chance happened to them all. Amen. Maybe you don't see it, but I like what Elijah did when he knew God was going to send a blessing. He sent his servant out and he said, what do you see? Elijah knew God was about to do something. That's about a blessing. You don't have to see it, but you know down in your, somebody said, down in God, God search minds and then send us an answer. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And truly we honor the Lord this afternoon, because he is a, not just a regular God. He's not just an average God. But our God is a great God. Amen. We're going to come back to this. Let's turn to 2 Timothy real fast. Before we go to 2 Timothy, let's go to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read one verse of scripture in Luke 8. Don't go to 8 because I just read the one verse. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, which reads, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bringeth no fruit to perfection." Once again, those that fell among thorns are they which hear the word. Can somebody say, hear the word?
Hear the word.
Come on, say it like you really believe it. Hear the word.
Hear the word.
And go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bringeth no fruit to perfection. And this perfection means there is no spiritual maturity. Amen. They hear the word, but there is something that's working to choke the word. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And for the sake of time, I'm going to skip around, and then at the end, I'll give you the title of the message. Verse 13 reads of 2 Timothy chapter 2. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." Can we say that God is faithful? Listen, today we want to get some victory. Since we didn't have testimony, this is your time to testify. Amen. Can we say God is faithful?
God is faithful.
You say, yet he abided faithful. Thank God that he cannot deny himself. Of those things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And if we just put it in everyday language, don't let little stuff bother you. That subverting means your faith is being challenged or tested. And when he talks about striving about words, it means don't let little stuff, trifling things, insignificant things, everything outside of God is trifling. Is insignificant. Don't let these little things bother you. Amen. Verse 17 reads, "And their words were eat as though they canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have," who concerning the truth have allowed the word to be choked. They're not going to spiritual maturity. They said they have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." This is Paul writing to his young pastor Timothy. He says, the man of God must not get caught up in insignificant stuff. Don't get caught up in trivial, trifling matters. Amen. But be apt to teach. Be gentle and patient. Patient means you've been telling them the same thing over and over, and it doesn't seem like it's effectuating change. He said, but be patient. That means put up with them. Amen. In meekness, instructing those that oppose meekness. Meekness is not, a lot of times we think it's our outward display, but meekness is, in essence, is our inward devotion and loyalty to God. And as a result of being meek and soft and gentle towards God, we reflect that to one another. That's why the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. So a lot of times when we see meekness, we think it's based on what we do outwardly. But meekness in essence is what's on the inside. Meekness is a soul that's been touched, geared, and driven by God. That is meekness. He said in meekness, instructing those who oppose, in today's language, that means they are working or fighting against God. They're in opposition to God. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, this opposition against themselves means they're fighting or opposing God. Amen. So he said, just help them by instructing them, by teaching them. Amen. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his. Lord, thank you. I don't care where you were. It's time to recover. Ourselves out of a snare. Now, a snare is a trap. A snare is a setup. Amen. A snare is a bait. It's a lure. It's something that is attracting and pulling you away from God by the devil. He said, he don't take you dead, but he take you captive with me. He's doing it while you're alive, and he's doing it for his good pleasure. Yes. Now, we know that God has a good pleasure. Amen. He said, let God work in us his good pleasure. Well, the devil also has a pleasure. It's an evil pleasure. But he said, snares are trapped. They're set up. So our message this afternoon, now usually you say, well, turn to your neighbor and tell him this, and tell your neighbor that. Salvation is too important. Before I can help you, I need to help myself. I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. So tell yourself, watch out. It's a setup. I said, watch out. It's a setup. That's our message. That plain and simple. It's nothing more than a setup. Amen. And what is a setup? When we think of a setup is a deception. It's a trickery. It's a craftiness to get you to compromise your conviction without a conscious awareness of what is being done. That's a setup. Once again, it's a compromising of your conviction without a conscious awareness of what's being done by the devil. Now, the devil can't trick us up unless he appeals to our nature. Amen. Every last one of us have a trigger. That trigger is something that the devil knows. If I hit them with this, amen, I'm going to start choking the word of God. I'm going to get them to lean away from God. This choking is going to get them to oppose God without them being aware of it. The devil said, then I got them by the string. There's nothing more than a yo-yo on my finger, and I'm going to direct their lives. But I'm here to tell you today, it's nothing more than a setup. Amen. The devil appears to our nature. Amen. I take my grandkids and all the kids fishing a lot, and they used to ask me, Grandpa, why do they fish like this plastic stuff? Amen. You know, because when you look at it, it's not something that's appetizing or something that you would think that a fish would want. But the way it moves in the water, even though they may not be hungry, it appeals to their nature. Amen. So the devil knows every last one of us what is that trigger. We're not thinking about going opposite of God, but he knows the the trigger that's going to get us to react opposite of God because it's appealing to a nature. Just like the alcoholic won't get tempted by cigarette smoke. But if you give him some alcohol, that appeals to his sinful nature, so he becomes gullible. Amen. It's like the person that is caught up in pornography. Give them all that alcohol, that won't bother them. But give them a glimpse of something that appeals to their nature. And almost as though they're out of control, they will react to that stimuli because it's appealing to something down on the inside. Well, brothers and sisters, every last one of us today, we need to watch out. Because the devil has a setup. Amen. What is the setup? We read about it in Luke. He said one of the main setups that he uses to choke the word of God in our lives is the cares of this world. Amen. One of the main things he uses is the pleasures of this life. Amen. We get caught up in the things that are happening all about us, and we don't realize inadvertently we're being controlled by our force, and it's not God. Amen. Anytime in your sanctified soul, something is making you doubt God. Anytime down in your, now I'm not just talking about your soul, because we all got a soul. But I'm talking to the church this afternoon. That's why I said, when it gets down in your sanctified soul, amen, that's the part of you that's been regenerated. That's the part of you that's on the way to heaven. When we get down in our sanctified soul, we become a threat to the devil's kingdom. So he said, you know what? I got to send something along to choke that word. I got to send something along to make them oppose God and the truth. But I have to do it in a sly and a conniving way so that they don't even realize what I'm doing. You have to act out of sorts, amen, and then you go to God in prayer and you say, Lord, what happened? Lord, how did I get here? Lord, I thought I was in control. The devil was sending you something that appeals to your nature. I remember years ago, a young man got saved. Well, he wasn't a young man. He actually was older than me. But he wasn't that old. He was in his 40s. And he had been an alcoholic and a derelict for years. And he got saved. And when he got saved, we said, now watch out. Don't let the devil set you up. Then we were telling him to stay away from the alcohol. Amen. Don't go back to that, those environments, those friends, those things that influence you. Stay away from them. So one day he was doing good, we thought. But then the devil had a setup. He came to church one day, he was so happy. He said, you'll never guess what happened to me. Now he's about 40 now. He said, there's a girl ever since I was a teenager. I had a crush on her. Out of nowhere, she called me. We said, be careful. Be careful, because the devil is appealing to a nature. He's appealing to something. He is setting you up. Amen. Even though anytime you are saved and your affection is towards somebody that's not saved, it's a setup. I don't care how much you run after it. I don't care what you do. It's nothing more than a setup. So he was doing good. He was coming to prayer. But then instead of coming to church and prayer, he was spending time with this person he had a crush on. Amen. And then as time happened, as a result of him hanging with her, he stopped coming to church as much. He would come in every once in a while. And we used to tell him, brother so-and-so, it's a setup. See what the devil said, you don't understand. I wanted this girl for years. It's a setup. She's not in church. She's not encouraging you to pray. She's not encouraging you to come to church. And the biggest indicator is set up. She won't come to church with you, and she's not going to church. He said, no, y'all can't talk me out of this. Then a little while later, he lost her and was back out an alcoholic again. He didn't realize the setups. Listen, there are triggers in every last one of our lives. because he has taken you captive at his will. Amen. He's used that trigger. He's used what appeals to your nature, and you're going opposite of God. We say, well, God understands. Yes, God understands that he is a deliverer. God understands that he can set the captives free. God understands that whatever situation you're in, God said, I'm able. I'm able to roll the waters back. I'm able to make a way out of no way. So it's time to stop being set up. Amen. There's some associates. There's some friends. There's some people that are trying to influence us. Watch out. I said, watch out. It's a setup. Well, how does the setup work? He has to appeal to your nature. Then when you get involved with the setup, it starts choking the word of God. Amen. You start doubting God. Amen. Because you can't get your eyes off of the setup. Amen. You can't get your eyes off of that thing that's appealing to your nature. Amen. You try to fight it. You try to resist it. But you can't do it. I heard a story once about some people that were in church. Amen. The families were all good friends, and it just so happened that the man didn't work in the day, he worked at night, and the woman was a housekeeper. But they were good friends, so they would spend afternoons together having coffee. Amen. But what the East didn't realize is they both had an emotional vulnerability. Amen. They weren't getting from their spouses what they needed. Amen. So as a result of this friendship, they said, well, we can just keep talking to each other and encouraging each other because you know what I'm going through and I know what you're going through. Watch out. Somebody said, should have said, watch out. It's a setup. Amen. So as a result of them having coffee every day and him not working and coming by and trying to encourage her, they did not even realize the devil was manipulating them. And then all of a sudden they fell into sin. And they were so bad that in particular the woman, the husband couldn't figure out why you're different. The children couldn't figure out why you're different. Because this ungodly set of relationship was going on for years. And the devil had set them up. They could not recover themselves from the snare of the devil. That's why I'm telling you, you gotta watch out for those setups. I don't have to tell you the setup that's in your life. You know. Amen. You know, you ever go through some financial hardships, and I'm a cashier, and you know, if they give me $100, they won't miss $5. So I take $5 here, and I take $5 there, a little here and a little there. It's a setup. I said it's a setup. The devil knows that you're in financial need. Amen. So he puts you in a position where he's manipulating you without you having a conscious awareness of what he's doing to control your life. Brothers and sisters, how many of us this afternoon have lost spiritual control of our lives? Amen. Manipulated, been pushed and pulled away from God. Amen. In our souls. Now I'm going to get to your sanctified souls. Amen. Somebody else can tell you about the regular soul, but I'm talking about those that want to be saved. I'm talking about those that's on their way to heaven, and they said, I am so glad. I'm saying, when you see this, amen, and you don't need anybody else to tell you. You know the fight. You know the conflict. You know what's working, trying to take you out of church. Amen. So what we try to do, we say, oh, no, it really isn't that bad. Because, you know, God is a merciful God, and God's going to help me through this. Yes, God's going to help you through that when you separate yourself from the sin. When you separate yourselves from the temptation. So, well, I'm strong and I can resist. Yeah, there's a whole lot of good, godly men that have failed because they went along with the setup. The key to the setup is the devil is working on your nature. He's working on that attraction without you having a conscious awareness of it. He's working you against God. He's working you against the truth, like how he is the Philistines. He says they have erred from the truth. Amen. Say, well, how do I know if I'm being set up? Are you in the truth? Amen. Are you living truthfully? Are you living honestly? Paul tells Timothy a little early in this same chapter, he said they call out of God with a pure heart. If your heart is not pure, you're being set up. Plain and simple. If you're not seeking after God with all your heart, you're being set up. Amen. Because only the pure in heart shall see God. I like what Paul tells the church of Corinthians. Amen. How many of you are going through some stuff? Come on, give me a wave off. Amen. Whether it's financially, whether it's personally, whether it's relationships, amen, whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's your physical health, we're all going through something. Well, Paul tells the Corinthian church, he tells the Corinthian church, for all things, amen, whatever the thing is, for all things are for your sakes. Amen. Whatever you're experiencing, don't get out of God. Don't let the cares of this life choke you. Amen. Well, in this choking we read, I'm going to just reference it again, about the rich man. God bless him. But the scripture says, his faith was rich in this world and not rich. The trap, the setup, it's when the devil lures you with his bait and get your focus off of God and on your trivial circumstances. That's the trap. That's the setup. He gets your attention off of God. So Paul said, for all things and for your sake, that the abundant grace may through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Paul said, for which cause we thank God. You don't understand it. He said, but though your outward man is perishing, thank God your sanctified soul is being renewed day by day. Whatever you're going through, Paul says, is nothing more than a light affliction that lasts for a moment. Saints of God, don't let the devil snare you into having some temporary joy or peace now, or temporary pleasures, and wind up lost. Yes, there's pleasure in sin. That's why the scripture said Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God that enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Yes, sin has pleasure. Amen, but don't let him set you up. That pleasure is short-lived. That pleasure is only for a little while. So whatever you're going through is a light affliction that lasts for a moment. Amen. It's just working on you. But afterwards, it will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Paul says, while we look not at our temporary pleasures right now, while we don't look at the things that we see. Hallelujah. But at the things that we do not see, that word looks means to be fixated on. Amen. Now what the devil would do is he would get us fixated on everything but God. It's the husband, it's the wife, it's the children, it's the house, it's the job, it's everything you are fixated on. Amen. Well, why were you late to church? You just don't know what I was going through. Don't God know? Amen. He tells them a little later in Luke chapter 12, he says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure. In God, he doesn't have no evil pleasure. God knows what you're going through. It's the Lord. He says, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. God wants you to be saved. That's his good pleasure. But the trap, the setup, if we are focusing on the things of this life. Now, you can't be irresponsible, amen, because we must take care of the things of this life. But they have to be secondary to God. If we have been saved, it said, if you've been saved, we should seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. How are you going to seek? Set your affection. Be fixated on the things of heaven first. You cannot neglect the things of the earth. Amen. Because the Bible says, if a man don't work, amen. It says, if you don't take care of your own household, how can you take care of the house? So you have your natural responsibilities, but they should never supersede your spiritual responsibility. The minute that natural responsibility starts fighting against your spiritual responsibility, it's a sinner. It's a sinner. So Paul said, why are we looking not at the things which are seen? For the things, the cares of this life, they are temporal. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. The trap, the setup that the devil uses is some type of a relationship. This could be the job, could be another individual, it could be a distant family member, it could be someone in the community. Relationships do not always have to be an animate thing, it can be inanimate. The question this afternoon, you search, I search. It's time to search. The Bible said, try our reins and turn back to the Lord. And he will have mercy. And the thing about going back to God, the scriptures say, he will abundantly pardon you. You're guilty. Yes, you messed up. Yes. God says, well, when you come boldly unto the throne of grace, I'm going to give you some mercy so that you might find grace to help in your, are you in need this afternoon? It's time to come to Jesus. Let us stand. Don't yield to the setup. Don't yield to that setup. Setup, once again, is a deception. It's a trickery. It's something that is intended to lead you away from God. How's it leading you away from God? It's getting you to compromise the conviction of your faith without you have a conscious awareness of what's being done. That's a set out. Spiritually this afternoon, it should be all about heaven. If we have a vice, if we have something that has us, that we don't have a peace in God, you know the peace you should have. Because we have peace in God, the Bible says his peace passes all understanding. When you're peace in God, it's time this afternoon, as we just read, stop opposing God and the truth. It's time to yield to God. It's time to say, Lord, I don't need to set up anymore. I want Adele, turn the music down just a little bit. Adele was a minister. He kept saying, he said, I knew what I was doing was wrong. But once I got involved with him, he said, I could not break that thing that was had me bound. He said, I couldn't get free from it. He said, I knew it was wrong. He said, I was smiling in everybody's face, but I was crying in my heart. I was crying in my soul. He said, I knew it was wrong. He said, but the devil had his hook in me, and I couldn't get free. Saints of God, the scripture said, he who the Son has set free. Thank you. Hallelujah. You're free indeed. Don't accept that lie. Don't buy into that setup. God came for us to be saved. Don't yield to the setup. Once again, I'm going to read this in 2 Timothy. It says, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. You know, listen, whatever we do in life, we should always please God first. Before we even please ourselves, we should please God first. that meekness instructing those. That's what we're trying to do this afternoon, to instruct you. Those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance. Repentance means you're wrong. It means to make a turn. It means to make a change. Repentance is the acknowledging of the truth. It's time.